Okay, well, we did lots of introductions last week, but we'll just have to jump in. We got lots to do tonight. So my name's Jill. We'll just start with that. And I've been here for about 4.5 years, and it's my daughter, Miranda, there. And so this course is Meditation 101, to make sure you're in the right course. And the next course coming up after this is Buddhism in a Nutshell that lasts for 5 weeks, and then we cycle back to this one again. So that's how that rolls. And then I always put a plug in for Discovering Buddhism if you've never tried that. Nobody here has probably tried that yet, have you? You've been there, yeah. What's your name again?
Larry.
Larry, that's right. I'm going to put Larry's name down there. So I got Emily, I remember. Eric, I don't think he's here. Ben's not here. Barbara, Michael, Roger. Okay, the other ones aren't here. So Buddhism, Discovering Buddhism is a 2-year course. And so if you want to try that out, it's on Monday nights at 7. Another meditation pause. And it has modules, so you can jump in at any module you want to. So it has all kinds of different things for the mind and for meditation and relying on the teacher, your practice, and it goes through 2 years. So I think they're in the middle of it right now, maybe towards the middle to the end. And you can jump in whenever you like. But it's good to try a couple of these out, maybe Buddhism in a Nutshell, to get an overview. So, tell me your guys' names.
Derek.
Derek? E-K, okay. Kalai. That's beautiful. And Larry, and then
Alex.
And Jen. And you're Aman. And you were here last week, right? I got one. Karen. All right, so make sure your cell phones are on meditate so they don't disturb anybody while we're meditating. And we're going to jump right in this week and go straight to the 7-point seating posture that Emily helped me with last week. So we just want to review it, but I'll quickly go over it since a lot of you are new. So even if you're sitting on chairs, this is still going to relate to you. And we start with first legs. So the legs are squarely down the ground, and I've demonstrated before what Vajra position looks like because not many people sit in it. But if you put both of them up like that, that's Vajra. That's the true Vajra position. But since I don't think I've even seen anybody meditate like that, you can do half like that. Can everybody see? The way I think is most comfortable is if you kind of slide it out a little bit and you put the knot of this foot in here in the space of the bottom foot. If your legs are kind of tight, then that may not work either. And that way you can sit with one in front. But if you kind of crisscross them, sometimes you can cut your circulation off. So that part won't relate to you guys as much in the chair. But that helps. The one thing you want to have that I think is important to note is you want to have your knees lower than your hips. And even if it's comfortable, hey guys, come on in, then the knees can fall asleep if the knees are kind of up higher like this. So even though it might not be uncomfortable, it can still kind of get you after a while if you stay with this and you sit a long time. So that's something to consider. And you can switch around too. Yeah, I do that. I go back and forth. Next, hands. So the hands, sometimes I used to meditate like this. Or like that, if your shoulders kind of roll in, sometimes that's helpful. But traditionally here at the center, and you don't have to do this, but we do right hand on top of the left, place nice and loose. And it's generally we just kind of place it on the lap, depending on your length of your arms. But it's basically 4 finger widths beneath the navel and just tucked into your body. And then the thumbs lightly touching as if there was a piece of paper right there. So that's the general form, wisdom and compassion coming together. And you can even imagine you have like a precious jewel there. It's holding it. The arm, is that right, arms? Or we're still on arms? Arms, or hands and arms. So the arms have a little bit of a space in here so that you have air that can flow through. And we joked last week that it's mainly so the monks don't sweat too much. So it's very intellectual in that part. So it's a nice little, I think they call that kimbo. Is that the right way to say that? Okay. So that, it's fine. So we talked about you can straighten your back, which most people say. Now, this is the part that will relate to the chair. You even want to pull away from the back of the chair a little bit. She's like, oh, I want to relax. But if you roll in some, you may find that you, hey, come on in, don't worry. You may compress the energy channel and the flow of your breath. And so it can even lead to a heavier mind. So if you roll your pelvis forward and you lift up, and you can think about, instead of just straightening the back, you might think of lifting the front of your spine. So I think that's a neat way to look at it, like lifting up through here. And then they say you can stack it like coins. So you can imagine your vertebrae stacking up like coins and the head. So the head, sometimes you might find everybody's got a different position. And mine used to kind of lean like that. But that's going to cause some discomfort in the cervical collar. So if you lean forward a little bit and think of lifting up through the back of the top of your head. So if you were being hung like a marionette, you might have a little pull up. That kind of helps raise the energy up, but your chin will drop a touch, and that'll make your neck more comfortable. So, oh, and we also talked about kind of letting it be relaxed on the top of the first vertebrae, whichever way you go, and let it kind of be comfortable right there. And in that way, it won't be too tense. Mouth. So the mouth can even be slightly parted. I think sometimes you see the Buddha with his mouth just slightly parted or closed is fine. And then you place your tongue on the top palate of your roof of your mouth and behind the front row of teeth. And does anybody remember why you do that?
Salivate.
So you don't salivate. Oh, that's so much nicer. So you don't drool on yourself. I'm going to have to change that in my mouth. But it helps keep you apparently from getting too thirsty. We don't usually meditate for 4 and 5 hours at a time, but once we try it, we can all tell each other, I didn't get thirsty. And then eyes. So the eyes, we talked about it being, if you've meditated a lot before, for years I've always kept my eyes closed, so it is a little odd for me to open my eyes, but if you're trying it out new, you might want to give that a shot because it keeps you a little bit more awake. And you can see that usually the eyes are slightly open on the statues. And it's not that you're focusing on anything, but that you're letting light come in, and it might be an angle about like that. So you can try that. If it's too distracting, you can close them. And then if you get too sleepy, you can open them again and let some light in. So you can use it for an excited mind or a sleepy mind. So I think we covered all that. Some of the important things when you're meditating is to notice that I don't have a clock. To notice... this is the mindful portion, that you're going to drift. You know, the mind's going to drift. And so I think it's important to repeat that I think it's a big gift if you understand that it's not really going to matter if your mind is busy, because a lot of people give up when their mind is busy. And that's that would really be sad, because you're missing the whole point of the meaning of meditation is gom, which means to become familiar with. So in that way, that's all you're trying to do. And it's really simple when you look at it like that. And without any judgment, you're trying to become familiar with your mind. So if your mind is busy, then you're becoming familiar. We're going to hopefully try to help change that a little. But you would really say, wow, my mind's really busy tonight. And that's actually okay. So you're not trying to judge it or force it. We're just going to try to let it learn slowly, slowly to calm down and relax, and then be able to focus it and then be like a laser point to go where you want it to go. But never think that I can't do this, you know, and then try again. Oh, I can't do this. Is anybody guilty of that? Yeah, I think we're all guilty of that. And it's just not going to help. It's going to make you feel like you're not a success, and that's the last thing you want to do. So that's why you want to do little pieces of meditation if you practice at home, so that you feel like you were a success and then you come back to it with a happy mind again. So I think I quoted David. He just, it's kind of simple, but he said, you can't do this wrong. He taught the last course. And I think that's beautiful, to just recognize that you can't do this wrong, that you're just trying to look into your mind. So wherever your mind is, you're doing it. You already are. So we'll set a positive motivation for tonight, and then we'll just do a kind of a settling meditation. And in that way, the motivation that we're going to start to learn and incorporate a little bit more each week is the bookend, and the dedication is the other bookend. So when you get ready to do anything, and you might even incorporate it into your life, like maybe when you're getting ready to even visit with a friend, or maybe even something that's difficult, you might set a motivation for that. Like, I hope that this is going to be beneficial just in some way. And so you can set your own personal motivation. Hi. Come on in. and have it be, for whatever reason you're here, is absolutely perfect. And then usually open it up a little bit more and include more people and more people into it, so that when you calm your mind down, you're very beneficial to all beings. And in that way, everybody's benefiting. So just by being here right now, we've already, you might have heard that we've already affected the change in the world. We've already started it because you've arrived here. So you've made a decision to change your mind. So in that way, you've already done it. So you can start your class with a motivation. And we'll just do a counting the breaths. Is that the one I didn't get out? And so for you guys who didn't come last week, this is something that we did last week, counting the breaths. Okay, so get comfortable. And then decide if you're going to have your eyes open or closed. And settle yourself down into your space. Focus your attention on your breathing and just breathe naturally. Focus the mind on the rising and falling of your shoulders and chest as you inhale and exhale gently. Allow your mind to settle and become calm and present, ready to engage in meditation. We've already created our altruistic motivation. Taking this time to develop our mind to become wiser and kinder, more able to benefit all beings. Start by focusing your attention at the opening of the nostrils, paying attention to the very subtle sensations as you breathe in and out through your nose. You might feel the sensation of air passing, moving the hairs in your nose, the cool sensations as you inhale, and the warmer sensations as you exhale. Try not to follow the air into the body or out into the surrounding area, but place your attention solely on the sensations associated with the breath at the opening of your nostrils. Your job is to keep your attention firmly placed on those sensations only. As you inhale and exhale, mentally count each inhalation and exhalation together as one. And just count from 1 to 10, concentrating on those sensations. And when you reach 10, just begin again at 1. If you become distracted, if the mind wanders, begin again at 1. If you become distracted but you catch yourself and you still know what number you're on, then just keep going. Point of this meditation is to train your mind to focus on one point only. And this concentration can take some time. Even if you never get past 2, it's no problem at all. Just begin again. Know that that is where your mind is this evening. And we'll end this brief beginning meditation by dedicating our positive energy to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. And just bring your attention gently back to each other in the room. Good. Okay. Next, we're going to talk about tonight some difference between concentration and mindfulness. So we're going to look at that and then talk about how last week went for everybody, for half of you. All you last week attenders may notice a whole new flock of people tonight. So we'll see. So the difference between concentration and mindfulness, which one was this meditation that we just did? Right. Concentration. Because why? Right. Very simple. Exactly. You're just simply trying to focus. It's kind of hard, isn't it? It seems like it would be so easy to do, isn't it? Does it surprise you guys how hard it is to do that? I didn't even time it, but that was just a few minutes. How many stories jumped up? Good, good. Good. So you know that.
Knowing that the distraction came up before felt like a failure. You know?
Oh. And success.
But now I'm just going to get myself to where I don't instantly decide I'm too distracted to meditate before
I start. Before you even say, oh, forget it. Because sometimes we really want to say, oh, for God's sake, just forget it tonight or forget it this morning. But that's not going to really help you because you just last another minute and leave it when it's kind of pleasant and you did it, you know, you just stay with it. I think it's a great attitude, like, okay, well, distraction. And we talked about the difference. Does everybody understand the difference between here comes a thought? So, Allie, was that right? Chloe. Was there an Allie here? I think I made that one up. So, Chloe, just name one thought that popped up.
Your car.
We used that last week, didn't we? That's probably why you thought of it. So your car pops up, and whatever you're thinking about your car, that's actually a thought. The thought is real simple, car. And then did it go like, yeah, whatever the story is, I need to get it fixed. I got to get the oil changed. I got to get tires. I wish it was nicer. Or if it's new, I wish it would stay new forever. You know, whatever comes up. So then the story starts, and it just goes bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you go 25. Oh, God, wait a minute, I was only supposed to count to 10. Or you don't even know what number you're on or, you know, did it, were you able?
Nine,
okay. And so that, it's just really great if you realize the difference between, hey, Chris, if you realize the difference between thought and story. And if you need any explanation that, we can go over it. But if you can get that sooner than later, you'll just be so much happier because you'll just say, oh, there's another thought. And it helps me if I even label it. So I might say car to my mind. And that seems to settle it like a small child wanting attention. And then it settles it down again. And then another one's going to come up because it's just trying to really in. So in that way, if car comes up, then you can just go car, move along, move along. And you can do all the fun stuff. There's lots of ways, you know, clouds floating in the sky, leaves floating on the stream. All kinds of things like that we can talk about. So we did bare attention meditation last week. Does anybody remember? Do you remember that one? So that one is the one where we started off counting the breath. So you always start with something, bless you, real simple, counting the breath, bring your focus in, concentrate, and then you might move into, when you're ready, something that you're going to actually try to raise your awareness of. But you do have to be able to bring the mind home again before you can ask it to do something different. So you have to learn to concentrate first and then apply other methods to it. So bare attention, we talked about being the observer. So it's kind of tricky to learn that, but we'll do it again. And then you're looking at yourself meditating. You're kind of watching your mind, which is kind of spacey right there to think about, wow, who's watching my mind? What is mine, you know? So that would be a mindfulness meditation versus a concentration meditation. Okay, so let's talk about last week. I'm going to just ask who practiced. You can, don't worry if you didn't, no worries. Larry did. Good, good, good. Successes and difficulties. Do you want to start? He's right in my eyesight, so. Okay. Yeah. Good. Because if you have a judgment on an expectation, you're going to, it could actually almost feel like a failure every time. So, when we do that in life, it's really difficult to have expectations. So if you just let it be whatever it is, and whatever you get from it, not trying to seek a certain sensation, then it's just going to be a meditation that happened. Like, that's what happened. And that can be much more pleasant, actually, then. And then it always feels like a success in that way. Does that help? Yeah, okay. Larry, did you have...
Yeah, I've been trying to do it every morning.
Good.
And if I come here, I can do the whole thing. But if I do it at home, I 10 or 15 minutes is about okay. And I found out on Saturday morning that a hangover...
Did you meditate on your hangover?
It was very short. It's amazing how much it affects me, and I seem to be very sensitive to it. So it's like, okay, if I'm going to practice this, I probably should drink less.
Discovery. Yeah, that's tricky. Try teaching yoga. Yeah, I quit a long time ago, but that was funny. Yeah, it's hard to be really concentrate with it. That's why the monks have vows about it, because it's really about the mind. It's not about the alcohol. It's about wanting to have a clear mind.
It really does ruin your focus, mess up your focus.
Yeah. Yeah, you focus on something completely different, like nausea and headache meditation. Okay, who else in the back? What was your name again? Curtis, okay. Yeah. A game warden. What do you want, them hippie people? You were fishing. Yeah. And is that why he tapped you? Not because you're meditating? Were you just imagining you were fishing? Or were you? So you had some successes and. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Boy, I'd love to hear that. So you're able to just stop all that dialogue altogether? Good, good, good. Okay, anybody else? We should see what your faces look like. How did it go? Okay. You're not Erica, are you?
Aaron.
I knew that Erica was sitting over here, so I got confused. Aaron gave me the...
I'm still trying to find my motivation.
Yeah, Aaron has already told me that she's like, I don't like this. So we have a goal to make... are all behind Aaron. She's here. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's good. Sometimes it's really tricky. Okay, we'll move along and see. Maybe some other stuff will come up as we talk, too. How did it go for you? I forgot. Is it... Katie, okay.
It went pretty well. I usually try to do it a couple of times a week. So I did the in-out breathing.
Good.
And I wasn't able to really sort of focus so much, but I guess I found the repetitiveness of it soothing. So while my mind was still aware, there was a little bit of...
Yeah, you get that benefit, don't you, of being still? Did you try going up to 10 and back to 1?
No, I just did
Okay. So that's something I didn't say in this one, but if your mind's really cuckoo, which, I mean, I think most of us are most of the time, you can try counting to 10 and then you go back to 1 and count to 10 and go back to 1 simply because it's you have to focus a little more to go backwards. That's all. And then you'll get really good at it and you'll be going backwards and you're still able to completely have a story going on. You'll be like, yeah, oh, wait, that wasn't the idea. Got that one down. So we're going to talk about what is the mind and the definition. So in Tibetan, they use a lot of definitions, and it's like little definitions. You know how when you're writing something, you look up what Webster says, so you want to just start from there. So they debate a lot. We had a debate class here, and we took we use the definitions because you have to have something you agree upon to begin your debate. And you're not just debating to win in Tibetan debate. You're debating to prove the Dharma right. So it's kind of a lovely debate. And so the definition of mind is clear and knowing. Clear and knowing. And just take a second to think about that, that everybody's mind is clear and knowing. And even the animals and the bugs, if you buy that, you can, your choice. But every mind is clear and knowing as at its basis. And everything else is just all the stuff that we put on top, all the stories, all the ideas, all the stuff, just layers and layers and layers. So there's many metaphors. There's a smoggy, like a dirty mirror, but the mirror is actually clean. You can't get the mirror dirty. So the mirror stays clean. Glass, you know, that's the same idea. Windows. So if you really wrap your mind around that, it's quite fascinating that the mind is clear and knowing, and the rest is what we're actually, why we're meditating, to try to let that loosen up. Is that shocking to anybody? Or just surprising? Yeah. Like, oh, you know, you kind of associate whatever's going on in your mind with your mind. Kind of natural to do. But stop for a second and just try to loosen that up a little and see if you can come at it from another way. Look at it differently. And then the basis of my mind is clear and knowing. And that can be, Derek is shocked. Taking it all in. And here's another one that usually can create some discussion, but the mind is not the brain. So for anybody else that finds that difficult, it is, we do separate that in this tradition. And in most science, I think it's out there a lot now. We talked about neuroplasticity and metacognition last week. So I think pretty much most people buy that, but the brain is the actual gray matter, and the mind is something you can't quite touch, hold, or anything. So the mind is, at its basis, different than the brain. It is in the mind is in the nature of awareness and experience. While that sounds obvious, it's an interesting way to look at it. So how are the mind and the body not the same? I mean, the body is the form that houses it. It's the physical manifestation we have right now, but the mind is still not something that you can touch. So that's always interesting to think about. And then you want to think about how they're interconnected and how they're interdependent. So the mind is really running the show. And I was listening to some tapes today that talk about, they were from the 80s, Wayne Dyer. I never listened to him before. It's really fun. But they're just, everything has to have a thought to get started. So if you wanted to go to Washington, Don Brown used to always say that. You have to have the idea that you want to go there to get there. You can't just be there. Eventually maybe we could, but we have to practice a lot to be able to do that. So you have to have the thought patterns and you have to have the idea before you want to do it. So you've got to have everything start in the mind. And all of this behind us, it's all for the mind. Everything we're doing here, it's all for the mind. And sometimes we think about the happiness and suffering, the pain and the frustration or the joy is all out there, that it's happening from you guys coming in this way. Like the experience I have when you guys had the idea that you could ease up on yourself a little bit with meditation. It feels like it's joy, but it's not really coming from you to me. It's coming from my mind, making a decision on whether that's, like, some people wouldn't even think that was quite interesting. It may make somebody else mad. It could have many reactions, right? But I've decided that that made me happy to hear that. And the only place that's coming from is my mind. It's not coming from anywhere else. So we've all heard, you can't make me mad, you know. But do we really believe it? I mean, how many times have we said, oh, God, he pissed me off so much, frustrated me. I'm mad. He made me mad. She bothered me. But it can't really work like that. So it take a long time to grab that, but we're just starting it right now. So that's the idea you want to think of your mind. It's got to come from there. So then that's the very place we want to have control over. If everything's coming from there, we want to be able to know what's moving through it and not let it feel like a runaway train. So it's changeable and impermanent. There's nothing permanent about it. I even love to think about, even within the body, 7 years ago, there is not one piece of Jill that is here right now. Like, that's just crazy. 7 years ago, nothing in you existed. And the you that was a child isn't here right now. So it's all changing. It's all impermanent. So we're going to do some things about comparing the mind to an ocean and the rising thoughts and feelings like waves on the surface. So the waves are up here, but they're not really underneath in the water. So we're going to do a meditation on that. So you can just think about that. Like, those things are coming through like a wave. And it feels like that, doesn't it, when somebody's mad at you? Like, it's coming at you. But it's really just on the surface, and it doesn't have to affect you. It's your decision whether you're affected. So that's the purpose of that meditation. And then how is it possible to calm the turbulence of the mind's movement to reveal this? I'm just reading right off the material. To reveal the natural, peaceful, and pristine clarity of the mind. So how is it possible to calm the turbulence of the mind's movement to reveal the natural, peaceful, and pristine clarity of the mind? So your mind is actually peaceful underneath it all. Does everybody buy that? Yeah. And what time? Emily's like, I don't know. Is it hard to believe that? Yeah, I have this dating website idea called baggage.com. Like, just no makeup, put it all out there. This is, you know, my dad lives with me. I have a 12-year-old. It's like a joke. Like, yeah. We all just come with all this baggage. We might as well just start there. So the next one is the sky. And I think it seems it's pretty common to hear about relating the mind to the sky. So everybody kind of, yeah, clouds in the sky, that the thoughts are the clouds. So the sky is always there, blue and clear. And even at night, it's still there. Like right now, if we were to go outside, if it wasn't dark yet, the stars are there. You know, everything's there. But the clouds are just, they're just circling, blowing by, and those are the thoughts. So that's how we want to think of the mind, is it's underneath, it's clear knowing, just like the sky. So we're going to find out which one works for you, thinking of your mind like an ocean, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. So does anybody have any comments on that? I look at Roger, he's being quiet tonight. Any thoughts? No? Okay, so we'll move on to a meditation. Mind like the sky. So move around again. If you have your legs crossed one way, you may want to switch them. And then you guys in the chair, just kind of straighten up and fly right. And we'll begin. Before we start, I'm going to read this paragraph about this meditation. In our ordinary perceptions, our thoughts and feelings seem to be all there is to our mind, one thought, feeling, image, or idea after another. All these mental contents seem to fill up our minds completely, as if our minds are small, finite containers. But this is an illusion, a misperception on our parts. Our minds are vast and infinite, clear and spacious. Our minds have no boundaries, no limits. When we experience the vast, clear spaciousness of our mind, the clarity of our awareness, we begin to see how our thoughts and feelings are like clouds in the sky, simply passing through this vast, spacious awareness, not filling it up. Suddenly, we have some space from the endless attachments, aversions, and dissatisfactions of life. So now relax your body and sit comfortably with your back straight. And focus your attention again on your breathing, nice and natural. Settling the mind back down. Bringing it to a state of deeper focus and concentration. Ready to engage in meditation. Create another altruistic motivation for this session. That you're not meditating just for your own individual benefit, but you're taking the time now to meditate and develop your mind to become wiser and kinder and to benefit all beings. Keeping your focus on your breath, starting off with the concentration of the sensation simply of the breath itself. Counting if that works for you. Once you've relaxed a little, you gained a deeper level of concentration and focus, loosen your concentration slightly. Emphasize the element of mindfulness in your meditation more strongly. And now allow your mind to be attentive and observant of whatever comes to notice, regardless what it is. Don't identify with the elements rising. Just observe them as if you were a tourist. Have a sensation of them arising as you observe them and then passing away, moving away, without getting involved. No stories. Just simply be aware. Allow your mindful attention to expand, to encompass your entire sphere of experience of consciousness. And now forget that there is an observer and something being observed. Loosen that up and let it go. And simply imagine your experience, your whole consciousness, as being like the sky, completely vast and clear, spacious, without end. And concentrate solely on this experience. Identify with this experience of clarity, spaciousness, and awareness. Our minds are completely clear, just as the sky is completely clear. The light of the sun shines down on us through the clear sky, and our awareness and wisdom shines through the clarity of our minds. Sometimes clouds fill the sky and obscure the sunshine, but the sky doesn't get upset. The sky does not identify with the clouds. The sky does not judge. The clouds just pass through the spaciousness of the sky. They come and they go. The clarity and the spaciousness of the sky isn't compromised by the clouds. They just arise and pass. Our minds are clear and aware, spacious like the sky. And when a thought or an emotion, an idea or an image or a sensation arises in our mind, just observe it. Let it arise and let it pass. Each thought, each mental event is just like a cloud. Your mind, the sky, concentrate on that experience of space and bliss. Whenever we identify with and are carried away uncontrollably by a thought or a feeling, we lose any awareness of the spacious clarity of our mind, of the vast, clear, and knowing nature of the mind within each thought or feeling, within which each thought or feeling occurs. Our perspective becomes small and constricted. It is as if all there are clouds. We've lost the sky. We lose that wonderful open spaciousness. When we can simply observe these thoughts and feelings arising without getting involved, when we can identify with the sky instead of with the clouds, then we can reside in that spacious purity of our basic clarity of mind. Calm, clear, peaceful, open spaciousness. Without agitation, without delusions, without anxiety and distress. Without dissatisfaction and attachments and aversions. And we'll end this meditation with a short dedication of dedicating all the positive energy through the practice of this mindful meditation to becoming a better and better person who is more peace in life and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. And bring your attention gently back. Was that?
It was hard.
Yeah.
I think I started out thinking I should be picturing the blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
And the color itself is turning color became a distraction.
Mm.
Because it was never actually clear. It was just kind of a mess.
Isn't that funny what the mind does? Well, it's a little, you start off kind of with mental ideas and then you want to loosen it up a little bit and just let it be into the sort of the idea of it, you know, the vastness of it. But I really think that's just what the mind does. It starts one little thing and then you get kind of lost in, wait a minute. Yeah. And then you're into a dialogue, right? And then you're into, oh, this one's wordy. It had a lot of vast, spacious words in it. Sometimes those can make you get sleepy. Especially at this time of night. How is that for anybody else?
I think thinking about something like being mindful rather than concentrating allows, well, it became a distraction sometimes because then you would get lost in whatever you were just thinking about. And you know, like, no, just general surroundings, don't get lost in that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the first time we've done anything probably like that where we've said, concentrate. Okay, now stop concentrating and do this. That probably might have thrown some of you a little bit. How was that for you guys? Good? Relaxing?
Good. I was thinking about the sunset we had with the family. Every family came into focus and it just came in a really big, calm, beautiful sunset with stage. Every family made a difference with the clouds, scattering each family.
You're able to let it move away instead of focusing on it. Good. Anybody else? Karen, how was that for you? Oh, good. I forgot to ask you about that. Sometimes it can get a little lofty, depending on where you've been that day. Okay, let's try the ocean one, and then we'll compare and see how it feels. So just settle back into a nice, comfortable position. I forgot my dinger, didn't I? Forgot it all. I was going to get that. Chime, that's probably a better word than dinger. Bring you out. So you're like, come back. Yeah, I can take you in. See, once I've got you, you can just... Yeah, some people do use it in the beginning, don't they? I never do that. You're referring to, I wanted to mention too, every morning there's a meditation here from 7:30 to 8:30. And so it's open to everybody. And not too many people come, so it's really quiet. And the lights are really dim. It's a lovely time. Yes. Yeah, because we know everybody's got to go to work and do something, so you can come late, you can leave early, you can do whatever you want. Some of us do the water bowls. We all do the water bowls, but some of us do it as a practice, so sometimes we're doing that first and then moving into the meditation. All right, you ready? Meditation on the mind like the ocean. So settle back into your spot. Just count the breaths for a moment, and that's the way we always begin most meditations, to let yourself focus on your breathing. Again, it's just a natural, calm breath. And then create another altruistic motivation. Doing this meditation so that you can develop your mind to become wiser and kinder and to be of benefit to all beings. Again, we'll practice bare attention, which is focusing solely on the breath at the base of the nostrils. Doing the same meditation, allowing yourself to completely set your concentration and focus, letting it go deeper and deeper. Once you've gained a little deeper level of concentration, loosen it up slightly, emphasizing the element of mindfulness in your meditation more strongly. Again, we're letting the mind be observant, noticing whatever comes up, regardless of what it is, with no identification. Just like a tourist watching, observing, letting the thoughts rise and pass away. Allowing your mindful attention to expand. Again, encompassing your entire sphere of existence, of experience and of consciousness. Letting your attention expand. And then forgetting there is an observer and something being observed. Again, simply imagine your experience, your consciousness. Calm, clear, spacious awareness. And now the mind can be likened to an ocean, and the thoughts and the other mental events to fish swimming through the clear, spacious medium. We are ordinarily unaware of the nature of the mind and instead observe only the fish-like thoughts. It is though we are observing an aquarium through a large glass wall and at first only notice the fish. If someone were to tell us to observe the clear water in which the fish were swimming, we might first have difficulty noticing it because of its transparency. But then simply realizing the fish could not be swimming unless there was some substance to swim in, we take our attention away from observing the fish and focus instead on the clear water. In a similar fashion, we let go of paying attention to our fish-like thoughts. Instead, we step back and recognize the clear, light nature of our mind, within which all our thoughts and other mental events occur. We identify with our mind like an ocean, with that clear spaciousness. In our ordinary state of mind, as we go about our business every day, having conversations and planning, thinking, worrying, making lists, and so on, it is as if we are living on the surface of the ocean. All those thoughts and feelings and ideas seem to fill our minds, making lots of waves, lots of turbulence and agitation. But as we identify more and more with our ocean-like mind and let go of the wave-like emotions and fish-like thoughts, it's as if we start to descend to the quiet depths of that ocean-like mind. We reach a state of mind that is more peaceful, still, free of agitation and disturbance. In the case of the aquarium, we will continue to see the fish swimming in front of us as we focus on the water. However, when we focus our attention on the clear, light nature of the mind, our thoughts will begin to diminish in intensity and frequency, thereby quieting the mind and enhancing our ability to concentrate. Whenever we identify with and are carried away uncontrollably by a thought, a feeling, we lose any awareness of the spacious clarity of our mind, of the vast, clear, and knowing nature of the mind within each thought or feeling occurs. Our perspective becomes small and constricted. It's as if all there is are the waves. We've lost the ocean. We lose that open and quiet spaciousness. When we can simply observe these thoughts and feelings arising without getting involved, when we can identify with the ocean instead of the fish and the waves, then we can reside in the spacious purity of our basic clarity of mind. Calm, clear, peaceful, open spaciousness, without agitation, without delusions, without anxiety and distress, without dissatisfaction and attachments and aversions. And now we end this brief meditation by dedicating all the positive energy that you've created through this practice of mindful meditation to becoming a better and better person who is more at peace in life and who can bring more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. Okay, so differences, contrast, comparisons. She's peeking around here.
I cannot stop obsessing about my breathing.
Oh.
I cannot. Every day, or this week and last week, every single time, I'm obsessed how slow my breathing, all that too slow, all the shit.
Well, that's how we start. And then are you distracted when we talk about moving away from that or just won't move away from that?
I just chose to focus on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can always come back to it. Does anybody else identify with that? Like just getting caught up in something when you can't? Yeah. Yeah. With the breathing itself or with? Mm-hmm. Aggravate. Yeah, I mean, I've had the experience in here of, and the different, I think it's because, like, we're going to do four or five at a time, you know, in each one or whatever amount we do. And then one is like, yeah. And the next one you're like, argh. You know, it just is everything. And you think, golly, there's only like 2 minutes in between them. So it really can be different. And I think if you when you do relax a little more, you'll find that that's just gone. You know, it's just like right now that's what's happening.
I thought of you every day.
Aw. Today he said, you know, if you were going to play tennis, of course you'd have to go swing 1,000 times a serve over and over, because you've got to get that motion so that you don't think about it. Because if you had to think about it, you wouldn't be able to do it. I'm going to lift my arm now. Now I'm going to lift it up a little higher. I'm going to cock it this much. And then, remember I told you about my diving? For you new people, I used to love to dive, and I would just do the same thing. And just over and over and over, same dive. And I would just try to get high and then do whatever that's called. I don't even know. And then I took a diving class. And he told me how to do it, and all I could do was go, and I would just fall off the board. It was just so silly. But I think it's like that feeling of I was focused so acutely on something that I couldn't even do anything else. And then when agitation arises, oh, forget it. Meditation is, well, it becomes an agitation meditation. Anybody ever done one of those? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I still find myself trying the concentration. I think because that is more structured.
Yeah.
And that's how my mind works. I can get into the structure of it, but then the mindfulness is really
too lofty. Yeah.
But the ocean one, I've felt a little bit better because you know how if you breathe in the back of your throat, it sounds
like a ujjayi. Yeah, the waves coming and going.
And so I could concentrate on that a little bit while trying to think about the ocean.
This is pretty big stuff. As I'm reading it, I'm kind of surprised that it's saying, okay, concentrate. Now stop, concentrate. Now go over here and do this thing and this big lofty thing about the sky. And, you know, it's asking a lot, but we're just starting it. So it doesn't, as you realize, it doesn't matter what happens, right? Like, does it? You know, nobody, hopefully nobody's sitting here going, I'm going to get a D, you know? Right? It doesn't matter. AOGs are over. She finished them today. So, you know, these aren't like the AOGs. There's no, don't get stressed out. I had somebody say, I'm too busy to come to yoga one time, and we all went, maybe she could try to come. So, anybody else have any, what did you think about the difference between the mind and the sky? Which one did you like better? Sky? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that way last time. We all talked about it afterwards, and the ocean was trickier for, I think, for a lot of us. It just didn't have the, even though I love to be in the ocean, it didn't have the same kind of, but now that I was reading it versus doing it, it is kind of cool. They're saying that the fish are the thoughts, and so you usually just focus on the fish. And now try to focus on the water, but I think that's kind of tricky to do. You look like you were going to say something. Oh, you did? Okay, good. What did you like? What did you like about it?
I guess because like with water, it like surrounds you. With, like I imagine myself in a deep.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a little more concrete. I can like feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does get kind of, ocean was easier. That's good to hear. How about anybody in the back have any comments?
I felt like I was drowning.
Oh, you're drowning. Ring the bell, come back. Was it just got a little overwhelming? I have to take notes on that. Feels like he's drowning. Roger, you no comments still? I'm quiet tonight. Okay. Okay. That's that. Let's see. So now we're going to talk about why meditating again. We've been on the topic of why. So that it's the mind is the source of everything. So in that way, delusions and inner habits. We did talk last week about the grooves. Does everybody understand neuroplasticity? Because you knew people, I'm sure you've probably heard it in the news, or that the brain really does create grooves, and we get habituated towards doing something like maybe focusing on the breath so concretely. But that's just a groove. And so what we're trying to do is kind of fill in those grooves, literally too, it's not just figuratively, and create new grooves for relaxation and mindfulness and awareness. So in that way, delusions come from the mind. And anger, jealousy, attachment, greed, and pride are the bad roommates, you know, the unruly roommates that we have in our mind, that we're trying to get those guys to get under the bed and get the little scared, good, virtuous thoughts to come out from underneath the bed and say, help, I'm out here. And then, so that's why we're trying to change our inner habits, and that is why we're meditating, and hopefully why maybe you came to class, so that you want to make some changes and relax more, be less stressed out. And these scattered, uncontrolled feelings of an unfocused mind is because we're under the control of delusion. I mean, that's like basically it. It's just controlling us. And I think that when you start to meditate, many people have said this, so it's not like a warning label, but with a label, you can, a lot of stuff can come up and you might feel a little bit more out of control. I don't know if it even started happening just yet with new guys, but you're just like totally aware of where your mind is, and then it can be thinking like you're getting worse before you get better. But if you think of it as medicine, sometimes you have to take it for a while, you know, to feel better. So ease up on that too. That's just the fact that you've decided to start looking at it, and it's not always very pretty in there. Right, Larry? It can be very full of lots of nasty stuff. So let's see. So the observer. How does everybody feel about the observer? Anybody have some interesting things about being the observer of your own mind? It's kind of a lofty question, but anybody want to tackle it? We'll have to ask Chris if nobody else will tackle it. I have to have a plant in every class. But I didn't know he was going to be here, but now he's my plant. Anything about the observer, Chris? The observations and the observer. So it's tricky to do that, to be the one that's watching your meditation. Like, I'm counting the, who's counting the breaths, you know? Who's being neurotic about counting the breaths? Like, who is that? Who's this observer in there? Yeah, that's part of your mind. So the thing that when you find that when you are breathing, and we talked about when the inhalation comes, and then there's this little space right here, and then the exhalation goes down, and then there's another little space right here. And when you really start to control the breathing, if you can get it nice and slow, I do in my studio some long, deep exhalations, actually, instead of inhalation. So a big, rich, full inhalation, and then just this space, and then a long, slow exhalation. It will really quiet the mind down. And what you're trying to get in touch with is that space in between the breaths. Have any of you ever kind of noticed that? That space, and you don't hold, like, you know, that wouldn't be effective. So as the breath continues, you stop breathing in, but it still kind of rises. To me, it feels like a wave that's, if you could slow down, like with time release photography, and you were watching a wave come into the shore, there's going to be a point where it almost feels like it's still. Can you grab a hold of that? You know, that moment, and then it comes back. It can't just go like that. It has to stop before it can return again, right? So just think about that for a minute. And then just keep expanding that idea. So the breath has to, you're still feeling, and then you've got to stop that. And then it's got to exhale and just go out. And just like when the wave comes into the, when it's getting ready to come in, or it crests, I should say, it's got to crest and it's got to stop cresting to then go down again. And so why would we want to spend time focusing on that? If you can get into that, if you can spend some time at home just really thinking about that and practicing it, mostly it's going to be through your practice, that's what's happening in your mind in between your thoughts. So we do feel like the thoughts are just flying out, and anger arises. It's like, angry. But it doesn't really happen like that, because everything's just a thought, like you've lit a candle. One candle lights the next candle. Those are thoughts. So there's time in between each thought. And if you could just like slice that and you could just expand that, you would see that you have time before anything arises. And everybody's going to have their own thing. Pride, jealousy, all those kind of things. Anger, most everybody talks about anger, but irritation, I was so frustrated. That's kind of funny. I was irritated to find out that irritation is just anger light. Like, oh man, I only get irritated. I don't really get that mad. Yeah. And then they said, explained that it's just on the way to becoming angry. So if I can, which is good, you know, if you don't get white hot angry right away, then you have the time to say something's rising and I feel it. But does everybody know what I mean by that? Like it doesn't go straight. Feels like it does. But they have, moments have to build on each other. There's not one big thing called I'm angry at this, at my car not working or whatever, you know. I'm angry about my car. That's just an episode, but all that exists are moments to make that a whole thing that's happening, and you've labeled that. But that doesn't exist that way. Does that make sense to everybody? So through meditation, what we're getting to is that you're trying to learn to expand those moments and then transfer that sensation to your life off the cushion, to your work, and to your people, and to your friends, and your loved ones, and to yourself, to expand those moments. And because you are not just an angry person, it's important to let go of the label. You're not just a jealous person or someone who, if Venerable Thupten Shodron one time said, like, if we were known by every moment of our life, or by any moment of our life, so like a murderer gets labeled a murderer, but that was a very brief moment in their whole life. It was a little slice. They killed somebody. And while, of course, it was horrible, they're labeled a murderer for their whole life, and that's the label they go around with, but it was just one moment. And she said, has anybody ever done anything they don't want to be labeled for? Like, oh, yeah, you jaywalker. That's what she said. There's probably a few worse things we've done. I mean, you wouldn't want to be known as any particular moment. And so in your meditation, you're trying to let go of those labels, let go of those identifications, those delusions. I am not this one thing. I am not somebody who can't meditate. I am not a failure. I am, you know, all those things. And I was thinking about that, like, with a teenager. So when something arises with them, has anybody have someone who's around 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? It comes pretty quick, doesn't it? And it's just like, I love you, Mommy, you know. And they're kind of done. It's, you know, they're practicing it. So that's the way it feels in our bodies, in our minds. It's really in our minds. And so that's what we're trying to do, is stop that freight train from coming, but see that it is going to rise and fall and change. So, Pema Chodron, another nun, she wrote the book Don't Bite the Hook. So that's always a nice little line. If any of you have ever heard of that, it's out, available in our bookstore. A little plug there. But don't bite the hook. So those things are all hooks that are coming along, and we're just grabbing them. So if you're in the ocean and you're just like swimming along in a fish, and here comes, I don't think I like that. And there goes a story, and you are off and running with it. And if you had, the more and more meditation you do, the more you might see that maybe if you don't grab the hook, you won't be dragged through the entire ocean. It won't hurt so much. So that creates the space of relaxation. And we've talked about how that relates to our life. And then I think, you know, ultimately meditation helps us take responsibility for all these things that we have to stop blaming everybody. You get it, that one? She's not, yeah. Got that one down. You can do the good meditation, blame meditation. So in that way, I think you'll see that the more and more you meditate, you'll see that all these things that are rising are just coming from my own mind. So I am the only one responsible for making the changes. What's Gandhi's quote? Be the change that you want to see in the world. Awesome, huh? Okay, so we don't have much time left. We'll have to do it quickly. This was a chock full night with everything. I have like a whole nother page of notes. But they would like us to divide into pairs and do a quick little, it will have to be a quick one. So divide into pairs and discuss examples from your own lives problems caused by negative mental states. And then how you responded. So just quickly come up with one thing, you know, negative mental state. Larry's already got one. I can see he's like, got it. We got 10. Pick one. So jealousy, pride, kind of, you know, group it into something specific, a jealousy, pride, and anger moment. And then just say what it is. You're in pairs. And then together imagine a different response. So how it could have been a different situation if you had been able to think about it and have those moments. So we'll just take five. So just turn to somebody. It doesn't matter who it is. You want to come with me? Where's the switch? Checking. There we go. Just to think about it, right? All right. Who wants to volunteer? We only have a few minutes left, but let's have a few examples of a take two. Wow. Didn't solve any world problems tonight? Okay. Yeah. And that works for you?
It works better than telling them to stop.
Yeah.
They don't stop.
They don't stop, yeah.
If you escalate, they tend to escalate.
What, and if you said, like, I see that you're angry, that can kind of, oh, Dad, you know, that can piss them off, too. They've had the textbook, you don't know what it's like. Yeah, so you just laugh and it kind of changes the room. Yeah. How old are yours? 10 and 14. Right in there. Good luck. And so you're doing that with the kids, just kind of laughing and changing.
Well, I wouldn't laugh at them. I think they'd probably laugh back. But I've just been really more aware of why they're behaving that way rather than dealing with, you know, being angry about their behavior.
Okay, good.
Somebody said to me earlier in the year, it really sucks. There are no problem children. There are only kids with problems. And I have a lot of kids with problems this year. So I've been trying to focus more on that.
Yeah, you reframed it. You looked at it differently. So both of you just decided to look at things from another way. Okay, how about you guys?
Kind of similar. It's the kids and trying to get them to do things that they're having said it so many times.
Ah!
And not wanting to say it in a way that, I mean, once you say it, you realize that it wasn't effective. You know what I mean? You realize it's not productive. And you can't take it back.
Right. And what did you decide? That was the whole point. Closets and sticks, okay. I like, get in the car, I've got to go teach meditation. That was good. Get in the car, I got to go. I got to hurry up and get to the Kadampa Center. I always like that one. So that's what the point of this is. That's what I'm trying to do now. As soon as it happens, as soon as it leaves my mouth, I just, she doesn't know, but I'm just thinking, oh God, I've said that differently. Or what would I look for a role model that I try to carry along, like what would I, what could I say that would be better? And when you're angry, there's nothing. I could have yelled louder, you know. That's never, but I could have said something instead of like, don't you see that I have, you know, that's never really going to work. So I'm still not sure what it is yet. I'll tell you next week. But anyway, that you're trying to think of a different way to do it, that you're trying to come about it from maybe sneaking from behind it, or you think, well, how did that mother handle it? I really like the way she is in the playground. She's so calm, or that kind of thing. Anybody else? You guys got anything? Okay, good. We'll trust that it was just all fruitful. So we didn't get to do 9-round breathing, and I'm going to show that next week. But it is on the handouts. Oh, do you new people? Do you guys, have you been to the website yet? Nope. So you go to the website, and it's the Kadampa Center, Kadampa underscore dash, oh, dash, center.org. I got it. And then when you go to the site, it's under spiritual programs, and then meditation 101, and then you'll see some handouts. And all these meditations are on there. So we were laughing last week, like you have to go breathe into the nostrils. Okay, now I'm going to. So it is a little tricky to try to do that. You can read them and tape them. We have a lot of ways to tape things now. That's one fun way to do it. Or you can just kind of look at it, get the idea of it, and then practice it. You have to do it a few times, and then you basically know what you're doing, but try to practice that at home. We did. Oh, yeah.
Similar.
Yeah, we talked. There was a woman back there. She asked me if it was okay to meditate lying down. And, oh, no, it wasn't to lie down. It was, can she use it to go to sleep? And so I think you can see that if you practice anything, you'll get better. If you practice the piano, you will get better. If you practice yelling, you will get better. If you practice going to sleep in meditation, you will always go to sleep. It's not fruitful. And so in that way, I think that's why people mostly sit. And you'll find it's, and if your back hurts, you can lean up to the wall too, or put a chair, you know, lean up against something. But we also talked about finding a place in your home, and Karen did that. Anybody else try that? Finding a little spot? Larry, good. Yeah, it helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have a window that looks over my garden.
Oh, good.
And I found a food ahead over at the consignment shop.
Awesome, he's on the way. Did you put the Buddha head outside or inside?
It's right in front of the window.
Good. That's probably beautiful. And so what he's doing, it sounds like, is creating a space that, for me, it's like when I'm not there and I walk by it, I have the desire to want to be there. And that's a beautiful thing. You want to create this sense of wanting to be there, that you're going to work on your mind, that things are going to get better, and it's a good experience. And so collecting things, you can start off with an altar, without an altar, but just finding a spot is the way to start. It might even be in your closet. Some people do that if everybody's really noisy, you know, and you might try to find a time in the morning. Seems like the mind's a little bit clearer in the morning before the day, and I get really sleepy at night. But sometimes she goes to school really early in middle school, so sometimes I am doing it at night, and it's tricky. But literally, you can just 5 minutes and just sit and just try counting your breaths. Don't try counting your breaths wrong. You know, what you might try, I just thought of this, is you can even try the way your clothing feels as the breath expands.
It's the
spaces
with the breath that I'm obsessed with, so it's interesting that you
know that. Oh, I think that might be interesting to talk about. Roger?
Jill, when you focus on the breath, you focus on the number or the actual breathing? You know, like one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you will feel like Count Dracula if you stay long. So, wonderful too. So if you focus on that, which now you guys are going to do that all week, aren't you? Seven, yay! So if you focus on the counting itself, it's a kind of another concentration. So I would say throw your attention on the sensations to begin with, and let the counting just sort of be a, you know, yeah, in the background. Because it does, I can kind of get these, big one, you know, up there. Thich Nhat Hanh does, you know, breathing in, except he goes breathing in and breathing out. But you can focus on, you can just say that too. If the does the counting distract you? You know, maybe the numbers are distracting you.
No, I do both. The counting and the spaces.
So the spaces, did it just become uncomfortable? Or? Oh, yeah, just like saying a word and going, that sounds funny.
Yeah,
don't worry about that at all. And do see if you can let that space just kind of round out and just be a little more loose with it. Yeah, like, well, I think it's interesting that we just see how many ways our mind is distracted. If nothing else, it's just like, wow. They're just queuing up. The tricks are coming, you know, all the ways that your mind can get you off. And
can you treat that as your distraction? To say, instead of saying, well, that was too long or that was too short, because that is a distraction.
Yeah. Yeah, I will report. Okay. Sure. No. Anything is good. I do some things in the class when I'm teaching yoga sometimes where you put your spine together and you can just like, it'll start to sink. And you can just, it'll get really warm too, and you can, that's not something we do here, but I mean that's something interesting that the breath will sink. It does become, I mean just, you know, I don't think that's any problem at all. Just do whatever feels natural and helpful at first. Yeah. And then you if you're doing it with somebody else, you've got a great opportunity to let them read it to you, the copy, and then you could read one to them too. That'd be nice. I'll have what she's having, right? Okay, so that's that, right? So we'll just, and the way we dedicate, we talked about making it bookends. So in this tradition, we look at like taking all the energy, and it's a lot of energy in this room tonight. You know, a lot of people, everyone's been trying really hard. And so you just think that you can take all that energy and have it be for the benefit of all beings so that it's not really going to waste. You can even get real juicy with this. You can say, and anybody who's meditating right now all around the world, and anybody who's being mindful, kind, and loving, you know, we're going to join it all in together in this great big ocean and then dedicate all of that energy. So you can have fun with that. You can play with your motivation dedication. And in that way, you'll see that you're adding little pieces at a time to your practice. So here's the meditation, motivation, dedication, and then eventually some prayers might come in and do some things like that. So we've got setting a spot at home, looking at the websites. So practice the Bare Attention one again from last week. Look, and you can people look on website and see if you can find Bare Attention. And then they just said to practice Mind Like the Sky once every day for at least 10 minutes throughout the week, for any minutes that work. And then use the counting the breath, and we didn't do the 9 round, but you can read about it and try it at the beginning again to focus and start. Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to say you're doing it wrong. And then bring your problems and experiences for next week to share. Thank you. That was great.